Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Body and the Beast podcast. Coming straight into your ears for the next few hours are your awesome hosts, Dan Meredith and Jamie Alderton.
Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of The Body and the Beast. I am your body, Jamie Alderton.
And I am your beast, Dan Meredith. I am full of carbs and joy.
I was wondering what you're going to say then.
Yeah. When you never know with me, mate, do you?
No, I don't, mate. Every day is what's the word? I don't know. Every day is a panic.
Yeah, panic. Every day is a panic. Thanks, Jamie.
I don't know what's going to come out of your mouth from day to day, to be honest.
Fair comment, mate, to be fair.
Yeah. So how was Rome?
Rome was fantastic. So yeah, I don't know if I mentioned it on the last podcast, but I had a little city break planned. My lovely lady, and fortunately she agrees with the sort of turbo tourism that I do. So it's kind of like we made a list of the things we wanted to see with our eyes and all the things you wanted to do. For me, obviously wanted to see, you know, the usual things. Went to the Vatican, which absolutely blew my mind. I cannot put into words what I saw. It was the most ridiculous, humongous, ostentatious thing I've ever seen in my life. It was insane. The scale of the place blew my mind. We saw the Colosseum, went to the Pantheon, saw the Spanish Steps, and I wanted to complete three things. So I wanted to have pizza and pasta. So I wanted to have those out. So I have proper Italian food, a tiramisu, and what was the other thing I wanted as well? To have something lemony, just because I wanted some citrus Italian things. And we also managed to complete the local McDonald's. So I wanted to see what the McDonald's, I've always done that whenever I've gone to a different country, what's their McDonald's like? And it's so much more fancy than ours, Jamie. It was fancy. People were nice in there. It was pleasant. I had cutlery.
They serve alcohol as well.
They do, alcohol. And the McCafe, and you know, for those of you who are nutrition fans or maybe snobs who are listening, look, I don't frequent there. It's, you know, horses for courses, do what you want with your life. But I just wanted to try, and I have to say the McCafe was delightful.
Yeah, I think the Spanish McDonald's is really nice. Yeah, Spanish McDonald's is nice. Spanish Burger King is like gourmet burgers. It's
really,
really nice. Yeah, and I'm not a Burger King fan at all. Not in this country. It's horrendous.
No.
But there... It surprised me.
But so I Vatican, realized, I love the fact we're talking about basically fast food chains where I've gone to like basically the seat of a lot of culture and history in Europe. So yeah, it was an amazing, honestly, if you're listening and you haven't been, go. It was unbelievable. Loved the energy, loved the pace. Very, very cool city. Had a great time.
Yeah, I'd love to go. We went to Italy. I mean, when you said lemon, it just reminded me of limoncello. It's like the worst fucking drink in the world. I just can't stand it. And they give it at the end of every meal. And it's like, oh, yeah, it tastes like washing up liquid. It's horrendous.
Well, today...
So what are we talking about today, Dan?
Again, nice standard Dan and Jamie nonsense at the start. So obviously last time we kind of, if you listen to the last podcast, I kind of like... interrupted towards the ending because we were kind of getting on a bit of a roll. We wanted to talk about, you know, how to grow your business and some things you need to do. You know, last time was a lot more about the clarity and the things you need to test and some, you know, simple things to get going. And today we're going to talk more about the kind of like the mechanics and the things you need to do to start getting, you know, a following, start getting traction, start getting more eyeballs and ears on what you're doing. And honestly, maybe some of the realities about running a business, being an entrepreneur, because it's quite a popular thing. It's very sexy to sort of sell entrepreneurship, being your own boss online. But it always makes me think of that phrase, you know, being an entrepreneur is working 80 hours a week so you don't work 40 hours a week for someone else. There's a lot of pitfalls and things that you're maybe not prepared for, especially like time scales and stuff. So as well as giving you some specific things you can do, also going to talk to you about like the realities of, you know, being a business owner and running your own business.
100%. And you know, for me, when I think about starting a business, you know, I wanted to, we spoke about, you know, getting yourself out there, but I think the day-to-day running, there are a few things that you need. And obviously I'm talking more specific to online. You know, we were saying that, you know, it all depends on the business that you're starting, whether you're going to have physical products, whether you're going to have services, whether you're going to have digital products. And very much I focus on many years of helping, you know, PTs and businesses with marketing, social media, and digital products. And, you know, whenever I speak to people and you're starting out there, once again, it's the focus is building an audience and taking that audience and building an email list. And it still boggles my mind today, no matter how many rooms I'm in, no matter how many businesses and PTs and whoever I speak to, and I ask people two questions. Who here has an email list and who here sends regular emails? And out of 100 people, I normally get about 3 or 4 hands up. And it just blows my mind. It really, really does, that people just do not think about, firstly, growing an audience and then taking that audience mm-hmm. and making sure that you're able to contact them off these platforms. And, you know, I'm very much a big fan of growing audiences on these platforms, but one of the things that you don't want to do with your business is build, you know, essentially, I like to say, build a house on sand. Because we've all seen in the last few weeks, Instagram suddenly shut down for 12 hours, or mm-hmm. suddenly you can't get on, and Facebook has, you know, gone down a couple of times, and it normally goes down at the time that you need to use it most. But there's one thing that doesn't go down, and it's your email list. And it's such an important thing to build in your business, because if you suddenly do get your Instagram account cancelled or your Facebook shut down, which my wife had her entire business shut down because of a password error, and she still hasn't got it back, then you don't want your whole business to close overnight because of something which can easily happen. So that's kind of the thing that I'm always focused on, is look at your audience building platforms and, of course, look at ways of taking that audience into a list.
Yeah, I mean, there's two key things, I think, with any business that you need. And having an audience is incredibly important. But again, much like Jamie said there, with, you know, we know instances of people not being able to use their platforms for certain things. You know, we have got people that we know who have hundreds of thousands, millions of followers, and who do not make particularly good revenue. So just having an audience isn't the only thing. You need to have an emotionally bought in audience that are connected to either you or your product or your service. And you generally get that by creating content, putting content out there, sharing your story, sharing your journey, letting people know what's going on behind the scenes, you know, sharing your life as well. People nowadays want to be connected a lot more deeper to the individuals and the brands that they invest in. It's not just about having a good product, which I'm going to touch on in just a second, but your audience needs to believe in you, what you're doing, your vision, your mission, your values, what you stand for, what you like. You know, I've had clients who've come to me who, you know I do some form of business coaching, but have reached out off the back of me talking about my little sister, or the fact that I ride motorbikes, or the fact that I box or lift weights, or whatever, that we have that commonality as well. But there's, you know, there's lots and lots of people who do what I do in the online space, but the ones that have come across to work with me have bonded with me over my story, my vision, my life, and the things that I do as well. So that's something that is really important. Just selling the end result, your product or service does, isn't the whole thing. It's also how they feel about you, how they feel when they invest with you. How does working with you make them feel? Do they feel like they've got someone prestigious or something awesome that they're going to be working with? But understanding the emotional side of that audience, like connected audience, like my audience is relatively a lot smaller than some people who do what I do. But I know for a fact it's very engaged and it's very successful and it's very profitable, because it's much better to have a smaller audience that really is bought into you, loves the content you put out, is interested in the things you create, wants to buy products and services from you, than having this massive audience that isn't connected and just, you know, just have a look at your stuff every now and then. So that is really important. But the other thing that is, again, I think when you have big social media followings and you see these people with these, you know, this clout online and start selling stuff, is understanding the product or service you sell has to be fucking good as well. It has to be something that actually solves a problem or brings people some form of joy or pleasure, okay? It has to actually be good. But you need a balance of the two, because I've had people, as we said, big followings, you know, lots of contacts, all this kind of stuff, don't necessarily have the best product or engaged audience. They don't make any money. Equally, there are people often, they call it like an expert's curse. They're really, really fucking good at what they do. They've got these great products, these great services, but they don't have an audience. So you could have the best possible digital product, coaching program, widget, thing that you sell online, whatever it may be. It could be the best possible thing that's like, if anyone could get their hands on it, would change their life. But if you haven't got people to sell to market to connect with, to tell about your product, then you're never going to make any money.
Yeah, 100%. One thing I want to add to that as well, Dan, is that, you know, yes, your product has to be good, but there's a quote that I always remember from a guy called Reid Hoffman, who basically, he was the creator of LinkedIn. And it was a quote that says, if you are not embarrassed by your first product, you've launched too late. So it's important to have a good quality product based on the skills and ability that you have right now. Because I've looked back at, you know, I've been selling digital products for over a decade now. And if I look back at some of my first products, I'm like, fucking hell, Jesus Christ. I actually sold that. And it's like, well, yeah, because that's all I knew at the time. Mm. You know, that was the best of my abilities. It was the best that I could put out there. And I think a lot of people, they get that kind of perfectionism where they, you know, they're told that their product has to be good. And then they spend months and months and months and months building this product. And then they're just too scared to even sell it.
Yeah,
because of that fear that it might be shit.
Yeah, you've got to put your best work out there. But it also, if you are stopping yourself doing it and you are trying to be a perfectionist and make sure it's the right time, it's got to be perfect, everything has to be looking absolutely first class, you're probably going to find yourself stuck in the zone of, I'll get it done one day. It'll be ready one day. And you'll never actually get it out there because you keep spending. It's a form of procrastination, is, you know, wanting to be perfect because it's not quote perfect. You end up not putting it out there. And the thing is, if you put it out there to the best of your abilities, this is the thing, you've got to do your best and give your best knowledge, best experience, best service, best product, whatever you can. It has to be the best you can, as you said, based on where you are right now. That's the key thing, okay? Best in where you are right now. But until it's out there in the market, in the public domain, you're not going to get feedback. You're not going to get results. You're not going to be able to help people. You're not going to figure out what you can improve because it's just, you know, on your laptop or in your spare bedroom if you're going to ship it. Like, until it's out there in the public, you can't actually get real world feedback if it's good or not.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, a thing that I've done, and no doubt you've done, Dan, and no doubt we've spoken about this on a much earlier Body and the Beast, is the importance of kind of throwing ideas out and bootstrapping things. Because one of the mistakes that I see a lot of people is that they build a product and then they realize that when they're trying to sell it, that no one actually wants it. And they forgot to ask whether anyone actually wanted to buy it. Whereas kind of the other way around of that is very much like I did with my first video editing course. I was like, I'm thinking of making a video editing course. I don't know yet if it's something that you might want. It's going to do this. It's going to help you with this. If you are interested, I'll put a list here. And if there's enough interest, I'll build it. And I had about 1,000 people on that email list. And once again, that is a signal to me that that's quite an important thing to build. And it was one of my most successful products. But it all started by not building it, by asking whether some people would be interested and then getting that signal from people that they are interested by collecting those emails. And then that gave me enough incentive to spend the next 3 or 4 weeks building the product and creating it.
The beautiful thing is, though, Jay, I've known you since, God, when, 7 years now? 8 years? I think it's about that sort of time. 7 or 8 years now we've been friends. And when I met you, you were already doing well. I'd probably say, because like maybe Facebook was perhaps your biggest platform back then, I think, maybe. Sort of 100,000 followers or so, I think, on Facebook. Your Facebook page, because I remember back then. I knew you from buying magazines and you were in it. Or on the front cover, like I knew who you were through, you know, just being into the industry myself. So understand that obviously that what Jamie just said there is incredibly useful, but you've got to get that audience first. And what a lot of people who teach business and give coaching advice and all this kind of stuff is understand that that audience of people, as I mentioned earlier, who are bought into you, interested in what you're doing, that has to be built. You have to find a way to find people who are interested in what it is you do and building that audience does take time. Okay, so you can build a really, like I said, the best time, you've all probably heard this adage, the best time to have made it on social, you know, say for example, on TikTok would have been 4 years ago, I reckon, in the pandemic. Instagram, I'd probably say 7, 8 years ago, if you really wanted to go big. Facebook groups and Facebook, 8 to 10 years ago, just hypothetically, those would have been the peak times to maximize those ones. Second best time is right fucking now. Okay, so again, things are going to change and move forward. Okay, so there's always the early adopters of anything who do well, especially in the online space. But understand, you can still build an emotionally engaged audience. The cost is going to be your time, effort, and energy. So you are going to have to be, maybe it's blogging with SEO. Maybe it's, if you have a local business, it's local area advertising. Again, this shit works, like flyers and banners and printing things in magazines. That stuff still works really well. If you are online, maybe it's Instagram or Facebook that you're going to use. There's lots of other mediums as well. The cost is going to be your time and energy, and understanding that it does take time to build a following. Okay, and it does take time. But once you've built it, and if you built it right, the right way, and for example, what I mean by the right way is you've got teachers on one side, and as much as I really do respect teachers, I have, you know, great childhood, great growing up, learned a lot from my teachers. They're often some of the lower paid professions, which is a shame. Then you've got entertainers at the other end, some of the highest paid people. If you're trying to sell a product or service, if you are just entertaining, people tend not to take you seriously. You generally want to fall somewhere in the middle, which is infotaining. So you're giving information in an entertaining way. And me and Jay both try and do that. And that's a really useful tip for anyone here looking to build an audience, is focus on infotainment. Not too much teaching, not too much, you know, fun and entertainment and controversy, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I always say have an 80-20 approach. You know, find out which one you are, more of a teacher or more of an entertainer. And then, of course, 80% of your time, you are going to do that. 80% of the time as a teacher, you're going to teach. 80% of your time as an entertainer, you're going to entertain. And it's the 20% that's going to make a difference. You know, the 20% of entertainment in a teacher is going to make you more attractive to, you know, to all the other boring teachers out there, and make people want to listen to you. If you are an entertainer and you're just spending all the time entertaining, it's hard to build a business, because unless you are marketing yourself to kids' birthday parties, no one wants to sell, no one wants to buy products from a clown. Okay.
Yeah. True.
So make sure that 20% of your time has spent actually giving people value in an entertaining way, which, as you said, is kind of infotainment. So one of the things we're discussing, Dan, is it's 2024, and people are looking to create a business online, let's just say. What kind of things would you recommend that people focus on as a kind of a service or a business this year that you've seen is highly in demand and there's not enough people or good people doing?
Do you know what? That's a really good question. At the moment, what I'm noticing in my, so I would say I have a lot of people who are in the coaching space that I work with. So I actually work with a lot of coaches. And what I'm noticing is that people are wanting more of a personal touch. They're wanting a little bit more of, you know, a hands-on approach. People actually working with them, helping them, guiding them. So I will say, you know, coaching is one of those spaces that if you are able to help others achieve their best in their particular field or niche, it is still a market you can make a difference in. You know, people are more and more open to being coached, to getting help, getting mentored. Obviously, it's something that I've been in for a long period of time. Yes, it's the downside is because it's, you know, not regulated. You know, anyone can get into it to a degree. But if you are have a proven track record of helping someone achieve something, or you have a particular knack for showing people how to get the best out of their lives in a certain skill, there is, you know, that's a really viable place to start. And it's a straightforward place to work in. I've got, you know, this something that I joked about in my book, but, you know, I've got a friend who's got a business where he's teaching people how to become life coaches. And I would have probably scoffed at that some years ago. And I think I did in my book. But more and more people are open to getting help with their lives and, you know, problems right now. You know, people go online and are looking for solutions. So I would say that would probably be the lowest barrier to entry for someone still now, without going into the sort of real detailed product side of things, which is obviously a different conversation. What about you, Jay? What would you say?
Yeah, well, when it comes to coaching, you know, you've got to start somewhere, but also got to know who it is that you want to help, because it's hard to be a business coach if you've never built a business. Might as well just be a business teacher at school. It's very, you know, it's very hard to it's okay having that kind of social proof, but, you know, like as you talk about life coaches, you know, I've had 20-year-olds reach out to me and talk about life coaching, and, you know, what the fuck do you know at 20 years of age to make you a good life coach? You know, you can teach people stuff, but it's that connection with people. People want to know that you've been around, you've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. And is it a requirement to do a good job of it? No. But if you want to, you know, get people connected with you, understand your story and build value, there are certain things which you've just got to be a bit kind of careful and cautious that, you know, you might be barking up the wrong trail. It might be a little bit too early for you.
Yeah.
You know, like I have people, you know, when it comes to content creation, you know, that doesn't necessarily, you know, for me, it's kind of the opposite, because you'd think, oh, okay, if someone reaches out, content creation or social media, you want to see that they've got a good following. And it's the opposite for that, because I don't want to see that they've got a good following. And the reason I don't want to see they've got a good following is if they're creating content for me and if they're doing my social media, I know that I'm going to be fighting against them doing their own because they've got a big following. So once again, it can be an issue if somebody's creating content, but they're also creating their own content too. So actually, if somebody's not focused on building up their own platforms and building other people's, then that is great, because what matters there is the skill of creation. And I would say 2024, the most financially lucrative opportunities are in that space. And there's many different spaces within it. It's not just social media. I mean, social media in itself, understanding social media, understanding trends and, you know, what pops and what to put on social media is a massive skill that takes many years to learn. And it is very, very lucrative, because if you can get somebody to stop messing around with content, focus on specific pieces that are going to help build their audience and drive sales, then that is very, very lucrative to those people. At the same time, people are looking for content creation, you know, filming people, adding subtitles, creating transitions. Once again, that is a skill in itself, become a lot more popular and a lot cheaper over the years. But once again, highly, highly needed for a lot of people, good people who are good at content creation. And then another one, of course, is videography. People, you know, haven't got a clue about cameras, about lighting, about audio, about all of that stuff, which is super, super important when you are trying to build an audience on social media. Is it necessary? No, because you can build hundreds of thousands of followers using nothing more than your mobile phone. But it all depends on what it is that you're, you know, what area you're in and what it is that you're trying to build, because it's super, super important to have the quality of what you're saying high, as well as the quality of the actual content high as well. So if you can get into those, any of those three, and get good at those things, you'll always have a job.
Yeah. Do you know what? I mean, I was just taken a little bit aside by that question. I was like, shit, I need to think through all the things that I know right now. And, you know, the reason I sort of said coaching was a great place to start is because you can often turn what you know as your skill, like something you're good at or something you're naturally gifted at or that you've already got a talent in, and you can help other people who aren't as far along as you or haven't worked in that help with it. Like, I would not do any form of, like, you know, business or mindset type of coach stuff if I hadn't built businesses for other people, been a number two for a few years, built my own businesses and, you know, sold someone and moved someone. If I hadn't done the business thing first, I no fucking way would I be doing it now. And I think, you know, you can get qualified, quote, I was doing some bunny ears then for those of you who are listening to us, as a business coach, you can learn principles and strategies and tactics, and that can be useful. You know, having someone walk you through a process is fine. But for me, I need to have walked the walk first. And you mentioned there something about, you know, 20 odd year old life coaches. And I actually know someone who is in their 20s, a life coach, but they have had more life than I had by my mid 30s. By that point, they've been through the ringer, come out the other side, had to learn how to solve lots of problems, help their family, help themselves, built a six-figure business, built this real good empire, know their shit. So there's obviously going to be outliers in each one. But one thing you just reminded me of there with your stuff, and this is often a really good place to start, especially in mid-brand. This series, for those of you who've already got an established business, already making good money, maybe this is not, these two aren't the ones really for you. And hope, you know, we hope we get you some good ideas off it, but this is for those who are kind of starting out. My advice is always just to be useful. Like Jay just said on there, is finding things that other people don't want to do, can't do as well as you, or just or quite frankly, just don't fucking like doing, and offer to do it for them. That's what I started. I was a good writer. I was a good salesperson. Actually, I went into copywriting to start off with. I literally started writing the words to sell other people's products first. I earned my stripes doing that way, you know, basically doing something that somebody else did not want to do, and I did it better. I did that for a number of years until I got, you know, really good at the business and marketing side of things and thought, you know what, I'm making, you know, tens of millions for this client, and I was getting paid, you know, well as a result of it. I was like, well, why don't I use these skills for my own business? And then I pivoted into more of a personal brand and helping people out what I do now. But it came off the back of being useful. So I would say anywhere where there's someone who's struggling with something, they don't want to do something, or you're naturally gifted at it. You know, I've got a friend of mine who is a tech genius. You know, what takes her 30 minutes to an hour would take me the best part of a day. It's just how her brain works. And that's why, you know, she now works with me, because she does all the things that I can't do, and I pay her as a result of that. So being useful and thinking about your natural aptitude towards stuff, that you can monetize that.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's a great way to go in having skills. I think we said about this before, that, you know, once again, I've had quite a few people who said, oh, I'd love to come and work for you for free. And it's like, no, like, it's not for free if you're not good at anything, because it just ends up being a free mentorship, because now I have to think for you. I have to teach you things so you can do it. So it's not valuable whatsoever. But if you can jump in and say, hey, you know, I want to do this for you for free. I'm really, really good at it. I want to show you that I'm good at it. And, you know, allow me this opportunity to do it. Then you've got more of an in. And mate, some of the people that have worked for me in the past, you know, they've done that. You know, I've had copywriters, I've had, you know, content creators, I've had lots of people who have just not tried to sell me, they tried to show me. And that is a massive, massive difference, because it's so much easier when there is a thing which you're struggling with, someone's taking it over and they have done a great job of it without you having to guide them. It automatically becomes valuable, and you're going to get somebody part ways with their cash, because you've just shown that you're going to ease their suffering in that area.
That's a really good one. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to touch on a bit, because we kind of touched a little bit on audience earlier, just something that just you reminded me of there with the kind of things you just said, is that, you know, you can, if you're going to help other people, then you need to be, you know, putting yourselves out there, connecting with people, networking, attending events, joining Facebook groups, joining mass. You need to actually be in the room with the people you're trying to help. Like one of the things that I did when I was the fitness copywriter, I am the fitness copywriter, was the brand I had, did really well off it, is that lots of other copywriters were hanging around with other copywriters, which is fine. You know, you still got to connect with your peers and stuff. But I just joined loads of Facebook groups of fitness professionals, and was really fucking useful. And I gave people advice for their businesses. I offered myself on podcasts. I did trainings. You know, a mutual friend of ours You know, we put on an event about copywriting. I did, God, I don't even remember. It was an 8-hour day. I did all the slides for it. I did all the content, you know, took nothing from it, but I was put in a room full of people who were my potential ideal client. And I ended up signing up a load of people off the back of it. So you've also got to get around people as well. You do need to join in conversations. You do need to interact with people. If you're a bit more introverted, then online is a great place for you. You can interact from the safety of your own keyboard or your own phone. Me personally, I'm a bit of a mixture of the two. So I really like the online side. I like my own space. But I also love people and being around human beings and stuff. I go to events, I go to masterminds, I go to meetups, and I talk to people. And I let people know how I can help them and the problems I can solve. You know, me and my business partner at the time flew to a nutrition and supplement mastermind in America. Cost us, I think, $5,000 to be in the room, plus the flights and travel. Everyone in that room was 7-8-figure business owners, some quite well-known people in that space. We were the only copywriting and marketing company there. And we had a queue at lunchtime at our table. They didn't know us just by the fact we'd paid to be there. Yes, we were good at what we did, but I literally had, like, in that industry, like the who's who in a line waiting to talk to us. And we're both looking at each other like, what the fuck's going on here? So you've also got to engineer situations where you can connect with your ideal customer, where you can help out, where you can give value. That's incredibly important in those early stages. You know, your time and energy is your currency in those early stages, and you've got to put yourself out there and get amongst people.
So another thing that I want you to think about is, you know, if you don't quite know what product to sell, that you have, you know, this overwhelms you. I just want to say you can make a shit ton of money selling other people's products. And I think I've said this before, but last week I was at a mastermind. It was a property mastermind for like 7, 8, and 9-figure entrepreneurs. And I was talking about content creation, and they were going around the room and talking. And there was a lot of entrepreneurs there that have 2 or 3 grand products that really don't like getting on the phone and selling it. They like to do like workshops and webinars and everything else, but they've got this great product. They've, you know, they've spent years tweaking and changing it so it's good. But once again, you know, they don't want to be the person on the phone selling it to people. And, you know, I turned around and said, well, you know, would you happily pay 20% of the product for somebody else to do that? And they said, in a heartbeat. So let's just say that this person has a £3,000 product that for everyone you get over the line, they're going to pay you 600 quid. And they're going to then send you all the phone numbers of all the people that have raised their hand and they're interested. And then I'm turning around to you and saying, look, you have this opportunity to jump on a 20-minute call with these random people, get very good at learning about the product, learning how it's going to solve their problems and selling it to them. And if you do get a yes and a sale, you make £600 from that phone call. That is very, very real world. Very real world, and very much needed by a lot of people I know.
Mate, I'll tell you right now, I mean, one of the things I also, because my background is in sales and corporate sales, and one of the things that I'm very grateful that I learned how to do that is that I will never go hungry. I can sell. You know, as long as I believe in the product, so as long as it's not shit, I can sell. And I will say the ability to sell something is one of the most useful skills to have. It's incredibly useful. Good salesmanship, sales craft, understanding sales psychology, incredibly useful. And like I said, you won't go hungry. But what I will say is that if you have the ability to sell or do something for someone who isn't particularly that good at a thing, you will never go hungry. And just thinking to that, like Jay said there. So if, you know, that's how I started online. I think I mentioned it on the last podcast. I had a chat with someone. They had 2,000 leads that they needed to call. And I was like, well, I was, you know, a headhunter and in corporate sales for a long, long time. Let me do it for you. I'll prove my worth. And I did. So yeah, thinking about things that you can do for others, being creative, being cheeky, getting into places that you maybe shouldn't, and having conversations with individuals, like we said in the last one, is a surefire way to get ahead. But yeah, Jay made a really good point there. There's lots of people who have things that they shouldn't be doing because they're not fantastic at doing that. You can earn a living, a very good living, solving problems for other people and doing things that they don't want to do. And in time, transition to having your own business, your own empire with your own fans, people that love you. And you could, like I said, I am, you know, my book is 8 years old now. Group is 9 years old. Been online for, I'm going to say 11 years now, 10, 11 years. Yeah, probably 11, I'd say. And, you know, those friendships and connections I made in those first year, coupled with the group and the book, have fed me very, very well for years to come. But it started off with me being useful, solving people's problems, getting shit done for other people. And then that parlayed into my own brand and my own business.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking, as you just said that, I said it can't have been 8 years because I wrote my book the same year that
it
you
was,
wrote
mate.
Yours. And it's like
2016.
2016. Yeah.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. Whew, time flies, eh? And you know, this is such an important thing when you know, like when we talk about products and that. And I have spoken about this a lot, but you know, you've written a book, I've written, well, you've written several books, and so have I. And I always tell people this: if you like, I always give an example of James Clear, who wrote Atomic Habits. He wrote Atomic Habits in 2017, and it was just a smash of a book. He sold 10 million copies now. He's not writing another one, I don't think, and it's still in like the Sunday Times.
Yeah, it was in WH Smith's on the top right, top left corner when I went in the other day on the airport. Still there.
Yeah, and he's just been riding the wave of that for 7 years, and it's not slowing down because he's just written an absolute smasher of a book that stands the test of time. And yes, it's a great example of, you know, really focusing your effort and energy on creating good quality products, because when you do, you know, they're going to serve you for years and years and years to come.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've given a bit of a buffet of ideas, from audience growth to good quality products to getting yourself into places. Like, there's one thing I will say, like, whether you chose, you know, say if you chose to use your market medium, if it's local area advertising, blogging, SEO, paid traffic, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, podcasts, books, with enough time, everything works. Okay. Everything works. Find the mediums you like, find what you can sell to people, create a good product, pick one or two marketing mediums that you are naturally drawn to. So I could say, like, you could say to me right now, Dan, you could absolutely crush it on TikTok. I just don't like TikTok as a platform. I know it's great. You know, I've seen some funny ones, but it's just not something I want. So you could tell me till you're blue in the face, but I don't use it. I'm not a user of the platform. Doesn't interest me. So I'm going to stick to the things that I know. Yeah, it might slow me down a little bit, but I can consistently show up on Facebook, on podcasts, on Instagram. I write. These are the things that I like doing. So just understand, you know, when me and Jay first started out, we spoke about this before, but I don't think I'm speaking for you. Neither of us expected to be here at all doing what we're doing. It was not a plan in the slightest. We know we wanted more. We know we could do more. We leveraged what we had, the assets we had, and started putting ourselves out there. And we just kept going. And we would honestly, the thing that me and Jay is, like, we're good fun in person. Like, if you hang out with us, if you come to any of our events or you get to spend time with us, I think we're fairly good fun. We're quite entertaining, good to be around. But day to day, we're pretty boring. We do a lot of the same things daily, weekly, monthly, and we're just very, very consistent. And you know, the old tortoise and the hare adage, it's true in business. If you can just keep going and keep plodding along consistently every fucking day, create and publish content, have a good product or service, you'll get there. Might take longer than you maybe think, but you will get there.
Yeah, we'll take, I mean, you want to hope it's going to take longer. Mm. The last thing you want is an overnight success.
Yeah.
And I say that honestly, because you will not be prepared for the work that will take, and you won't be able to maximize the opportunities that come with fast growth.
Yeah. Slow and steady really does ruin the waste in this one.
Yeah. 100%. Dan, I think that is two podcasts full of knowledge to help people with their businesses. Any final thoughts on that?
Honestly, I'll just say to you, for those of you who are maybe starting out early stages of business, wanting to do it, maybe things aren't quite ticking along right now. Is it going to be tough, challenging? Are you going to question yourself and your sanity at points? Yeah, honestly, you are. I have conversations like that with myself and others fairly often. But is it worth it? You know, when you are able to help out your loved ones, when you're free to go and explore and try new things, when you kind of set your own schedule, in time. You don't get to do that at the start. Is it worth it? And, you know, that the help and the joy you can bring to your life and others, yeah, it is worth it. So if you're doubting yourself and you're thinking, fucking hell, what am I doing? Don't worry about it. We all go through that point. Just keep going.
Yeah, 100%. I shared a piece of content, which I was listening to Lex Fridman interview Dana White. And one of the things that I loved about it is he says that you have to wake up each day and go to war. And what he meant by that goes, look, if you think that running a, you know, if you're running a business and everything keeps fucking up and it's getting you down and you're getting depressed, then maybe don't run a business. If you're posting social media content and you're getting triggered by people saying shit to you online, don't do social media. It's like, this is a game, and you can either play the game and, you know, turn up, strap your boots on and fucking go for it, or you cannot play the game and just not get all the benefits that come with doing those things. And I'll tell you what, a life of ease is definitely not a life of ease, because you end up being, you know, being that person who gets to the end of their life saying shoulda, woulda, coulda, and you don't want to be that person.
Better give it a pump.
Understand it's going to be good. Life's tough. Life's fucking hard. Just embrace the fact that it is and put some skin in the game. Because if you keep turning up, you keep doing the fucking work, you will reap the benefits of that hard work eventually.
Nice, Jay. Lovely. We hope you enjoyed it. And thank you for listening. And any feedback or questions or help either me and Jay can give you, you know where we are. Just shoot us a message.
100%. But, ladies and gents, as always, I've been your body, Jamie Wilson.
And I've been your beast, Dan Meredith. Take care.